This afternoon we deal with Lord's Day 45 of the Catechism. Lord's Day 45 is about prayer. In connection with that we read from the book of Leviticus. It's the third book of the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 10. We read the first seven verses. And as we read Leviticus 10, we should remember that prayer is sacrifice. When we pray, we offer sacrifice to the Lord. And Leviticus 10 is also about sacrifice. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said: Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. And do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. We now go to the New Testament. We read from the Gospel of Luke, Luke 11, the verses 1 through 7. From verse 1 to verse 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you, who has a friend, will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him? And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This afternoon I preach to you the gospel as we confess it in Lord's Day 45 of our catechism, page 559. Lord's Day 45, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give his grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask him for these gifts and thank him for them. What belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by him? First, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only, who has revealed himself in his word for all that he has commanded us to pray. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. Third, we must rest on this firm foundation that, although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. What has God commanded us to ask of him? All the things we need for body and soul is included in the prayer which Christ our Lord himself taught us. What is the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we sing together Psalm 102, stanzas 7 and 10. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for many of us, praying is a habit. In fact, it is probably the first habit we ever learned. Before we could even say, Mommy or Daddy, before we knew how to fold our hands and close our eyes, already then, Mum or Dad would take our tiny little hands in theirs, and they would put their big fingers over our eyes, and they would pray aloud so that we could hear. Then we prayed, although we could not understand a word of what we were praying. And when our children grow up, when they are 2 or maybe 3 years old, we are still teaching them to pray. First, they learn to say Amen at the end of our prayers. Then we teach them to pray a few words like, Lord, bless this food for Jesus' sake, Amen. And then we also teach them a bedtime prayer. And those prayers, which we learn, they are what we call form prayers. Not prayers that we make up ourselves, but pre-packaged prayers, saying everything that our children need to say in exactly the right order. So, brothers and sisters, is it a good idea to have our children learn to pray these prayers? Isn't it better if our children learn to pray from the heart? Reality is, regardless of whether our children feel happy or sad, regardless of whether our children have had a good day or a bad day, there are some things that they always need to pray for. Like the Catechism says, God commanded us to pray them. We teach our children what to pray because praying is more than little children talking to God. Praying is more than little children telling God what those kids think is important. Instead, praying is something we do for God. It's a way of glorifying God. When we pray, when our children pray, we need to ask why and for whom is all this happening? Are we doing it for us or for God? We need to ask these questions and think about them seriously, because it's trendy to let children make up their own prayers. It's trendy to have children talk to God about how these children feel, and to have children talk to God about what children think is important. It's also trendy for parents to say afterwards, "Wow, did you hear how great my child can pray?" Then parents need to think about what Jesus said about hypocrites who love to pray in public and impress other people. Basically, we teach our children to do that as well. And so we need to go back to what Jesus told his disciples about praying. Jesus did not teach his disciples to tell God what was on their hearts or their minds. Jesus did not tell his disciples to explain to God how they feel. Jesus did not say, "Pray whatever you like, and if you can say it in flowery language, God will be impressed." No, Jesus told his disciples, "Pray like this." And then Jesus gave them words, sentences to pray. And that's why every year the Catechism brings us back to the classroom, to Jesus' classroom. And the Catechism teaches us again to pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray, not to impress anybody. Instead, Jesus said, if you pray like this, then you praise God. And so that our prayers might be more and more praising to God, I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: Jesus Christ, our Saviour, teaches us to pray his way. And we pay attention to 3 points: the source of Christian prayer, the character and the contents of Christian prayer. Jesus Christ, our Saviour, teaches us to pray his way. First, we consider the source of Christian prayer. Now, most Christians today pray two different kinds of prayers. When we eat, or before we go to bed, we fold our hands, close our eyes, and pray what we might call a proper prayer. We start with Father in heaven, and we end with, "Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen." Praying like that is a custom or tradition that we have learned mainly from our parents. It's a healthy routine in the line of what Jesus teaches in Luke 11. But most of us also pray in a different way. When a baby cries at night and mum is at her wit's end, she says, "Lord, please let my baby stop crying and help me to understand what she needs." Or when we are driving on the road, perhaps not concentrating for a moment, and we almost have an accident, we say, "Thank you, God, for saving me." Or otherwise we get a phone call. Something has happened to a person we love, and we pray, "Lord, please let it not be cancer." Or, "Lord, give me wisdom to respond wisely, compassionately." Such a prayer is more like a telegram than a proper prayer. And even 40 years ago, Canadian Reformed people did not pray like that. Instead, they said, "That's for the evangelicals. They seem to talk about God so easily, so flippantly." But Reformed people, on the other hand, Reformed people would sit down and pray properly before and after every meal and before we went to bed. We were taught that telegram prayers, they're not for us because they are too casual and not glorifying God. And now, whether or not we should pray such prayers, that is a serious question, brothers and sisters. Because we just sang Psalm 141. And Psalm 141 tells us that prayer is like incense. Prayer is like a sacrifice that we offer up to God. Something important to remember when we pray. Praying is sacrifice. Praying is giving something to God. And we just read together the story of Nadab and Abihu, who offered up strange sacrifices, not the kind of sacrifices that God wanted. And that made God angry, so that God killed them. This is not something we like to think about. Instead, we prefer to think about God as friendly and sympathetic, interested in how we are doing. But God is also holy. God is particular about how we worship him. The story of Nadab and Abihu, it teaches us clearly. If our prayers are not pleasing to God, that's a serious issue. And that's one reason, an important reason why it's important that we learn to pray properly. And then we can rest assured. The Bible teaches us that telegram prayers are okay. Praying on the spur of the moment, without sitting down, folding our hands and closing our eyes. Praying on the spur of the moment is pleasing to God. We know that because singing is also praying. When we sing psalms, we are praying. And every year the Israelites would go up to Jerusalem and they would sing psalms on the way. And we can also sing psalms while we drive on the road or clean out the garage or change a baby's diaper. Singing psalms, praying in that way, is something we ought to be doing a lot of the time. That's the purpose why God created us, to praise him. So praying while we are busy with other things is not disrespectful to God at all. We have no doubt about that. And besides, we read in Nehemiah 2 a story about a conversation between Nehemiah and the king. The king asks Nehemiah a question, and Nehemiah is afraid. He's not sure about what he should say in response. And so, in a moment, Nehemiah prays. He prays, and a second later he's answering the king. That's also a telegram prayer. And such a prayer pleases God, brothers and sisters. It honors God because it is a confession of our helplessness, a confession of our total dependence on God. When we say, God, I'm lost, I need help, I need answers, and you are my only hope, O God. That is faith in action that comes from being born again, knowing ourselves to be as helpless as newborn babies, depending completely and only on God. So God is praised. Praying with folded hands and closed eyes and telling God everything that needs to be said, that's important. That glorifies God in one way. But apart from that, we also praise God when we face a crisis and we turn to God in a moment of need. We ask for help. Both of these different kinds of praying have a place in the Christian life. But there is more that needs to be said about this. Because when natural disasters happen, then often on the following Sunday, churches are fuller than usual. And then the comment is made that misery drives people to pray. Trouble brings people to their knees. That's what people say, and it sounds reasonable. But beloved congregation, that misses the point of praying. Because Christian prayer is more than telling God that we are upset. Christian prayer is more than a distress signal. Prayer might begin with need and desperation, but Christian prayer is rooted in thankfulness. Christian prayer begins with the realization that God is almighty and God cares for us so deeply that he sent his Son to the cross to pay for our sins, and so we can trust him in everything that happens. When a man has lost everything in the stock market crash, that does not qualify him to pray, unless he still believes that God is a good and gracious Father and not a hair can fall from my head without his will. When my child is struggling with bad habits, like abusing drugs or alcohol or pornography, then his problem does not qualify him to pray, unless he is convinced that in all things God is working for good for those who love him. When we are hurting, when we are desperate, then we can't cry out for help. But we should not call that praying. When bad things happen, it is natural for everybody to complain. It is natural for everybody to blame somebody else for our problems. It is also natural that we insist that we deserve to be helped. But then it is necessary that the Spirit of God work in us through the gospel. It is necessary that the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to the love of God, and then streams of life flow into our hearts, and then we can turn to God in childlike trust and faith, and we can pray. Then we pray in the confidence that all our needs have already been met by Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Father in heaven, we praise your holy name because we are blind, but you can see. And we are hungry, but you will feed us. And we are poor, but you make us rich. And so we pray. We pray because our lives are difficult and painful. But even as we pray, we come to understand that our lives only seem difficult and painful because our faith is so small. Fact is, beloved congregation, trouble by itself does not bring us to our knees. Instead, the knowledge that God is great, the knowledge that the love of God is great, that knowledge is what we need to praise God and to pray. And that brings us to the end of answers 1:16, to the words, God will give his grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask him for these gifts and thank him for these gifts. God gives his grace. God gives his Holy Spirit only to people who say, please and thank you. When we read this, we might think about dogs in a circus. The trainer has a bag of biscuits, and the dogs get a biscuit when they perform. When we read the catechism, we get a similar impression. God has got plenty. God can give us as much as he likes, but he only gives us his grace and his Holy Spirit if we ask, please, and say, thank you. But God works in this way for good reason, brothers and sisters. God wants to have a relationship with us. God created us to live in a relationship with him. God put Adam and Eve in paradise, and there God would visit with them. And after the fall, God made a covenant with Abraham. God lived in a temple. God arranged for his people to come to his house, to worship him, to live in a relationship with him. God even sent his Son into the world and to the cross, so that Jesus might become the way, the open way between God and us. God wants to have a relationship with us. Not just a relationship where we talk to God when we have got problems, but not when things are okay. We all know what such a relationship looks like. We all know friends who we never see except when they're in trouble and they want something. God does not want to have such a relationship with us. Instead, he wants to be part of our lives. He wants to be part of our lives like a bridegroom wants to be part of his bride's life. That's the relationship that Christ wants to have with us. And God wants our praying to fit into such a pattern, not where we ask for something when we need it and we forget about him for the rest. But he wants a relationship, an open relationship, a loving relationship, where indeed we put him first, we put his honour and glory first. That is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. And so he says, my children, I want you to talk to me. I want you to pray to me. But I want you to understand what is most important. And that must come first. That's why God teaches us how to pray. That's our first point. In our second point, we will now consider the character of Christian prayer. Question 117 asks, what kind of prayer is pleasing to God and heard by God? And this implies that not every prayer is pleasing to God. Not every prayer is heard by God either. And this means, again, brothers and sisters, we need to think about how we pray. We need to word our prayers carefully. And that should not surprise us, because whenever we talk to other people, whenever we communicate, what we say and how we say it is always important. When I talk to my wife, I need to word my concerns and my thoughts carefully. When I speak to my children, I need to word my thoughts carefully. So why should it be different with God? So God wants us to think about what kind of prayer he would hear. When we think about that, we should begin by thinking about family prayers and congregational prayers. Because reality is, then we are supposed to pray together. Together as a family. Together as a class at school. Together as a congregation. And so in church we pray for different things. We pray for mission work and mission aid. We pray for our theological seminary, and that's all okay, as long as it doesn't go too long, as long as it doesn't repeat itself week after week, it's okay. And even when we pray for our families, in general, without mentioning any details, everybody is quite content with our prayers. But when there are special circumstances, then things get tricky and we become sensitive. Consistory might decide that there is an issue in a person's life or in a family, and we should pray for that issue together as congregation. but the family might disagree. They might prefer to keep it private. I remember sitting in church listening to a minister pray for a certain member of that congregation. And while the minister was praying, the parents of that person we were praying for, they were sitting in front of me. And they were arguing about whether or not they should walk out of church because they disagreed with the prayer. Just making the point, the minister was praying, but the congregation was not united in prayer. The minister was praying, but he was not leading the congregation in prayer. For the congregation to be united in prayer, there must be a common understanding of our needs. And the person who leads in prayer should have a sense of the joys and the challenges that different members of the congregation face. He should know the needs of the elderly and the families, the teenagers and the children. He should understand the needs of the office bearers and the pressures of our school teachers and students in the time of exams, as well as the other needs in the congregation. Of course, they don't all have to be mentioned. And so he has to make choices. But sometimes bad choices are made. And then this happens, brothers and sisters. Then the way that I pray for young people, the way I pray for our governments, even the way I pray for our sister churches around the world, that can make it difficult for us all to be united in prayer. And that's why the Catechism says, also when we pray, especially when we pray, we must thoroughly know our need and misery and humble ourselves before God. Praying is not entertainment. Instead, praying is hard work. It's important that we pray properly and in unity. But we must confess that our prayers will always be imperfect, that they will easily give offence. And so we need the grace of God also when we pray. And then we are relieved when the Catechism tells us that there is nothing in our prayers and there is nothing in our praying hearts that is acceptable to God or that makes our prayers acceptable to God. God does not hear our prayers because we pray them in faith. No, God hears our prayers only for the sake of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. For Jesus' sake alone, God will hear our prayers and forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, God will forgive the sins of the man or the woman who leads in prayer. And he will also forgive the sins of those who are sitting in the pew or the classroom or around the dinner table trying to pray along. God will forgive our sins also when we are bored or distracted or annoyed while we are trying to pray. God will forgive all these sins and he will hear our prayer in spite of all these sins only for Jesus' sake. Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross must stand in the center of all our prayers, must stand in the center of all our discussions about prayer, because what else is there to talk about? There is nothing else in our prayers. There is nothing else in our lives that makes us in any way acceptable to God. So in short, the character of our prayers is that they are always inadequate. And often, the way that we pray, it highlights our personal weaknesses. It highlights the flaws of our character much more than it focuses on God. That's why we need the grace of God. We need forgiveness. We need the Holy Spirit. Then God will hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake, That's our second point. In our third point, we will now consider the contents of Christian prayer. Answer 118 tells us that we must ask God for all things we need for body and soul. And then the Lord's Prayer explains what it really is that we need. Clearly, the knowledge of what we ought to pray for. The knowledge of how we ought to pray. That knowledge does not come to us naturally. No, praying needs to be learned. That means, of course, praying needs to be taught. And then some parents might protest that they are not teachers. They might protest that they have not been trained to teach their children how to pray. But brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, whenever you pray aloud with other people, you are teaching them. And if you are not teaching them how they ought to pray, you are certainly teaching them how you pray. In other words, the prayers that we pray at home with our families, the prayers that we pray in our classrooms and in our public worship services, all these prayers, they are lessons that are taught. And so they must be prepared carefully, because just like the Lord's Prayer served as a model prayer for the 12 disciples, so our prayers serve as models for other people. The prayers that we pray before and after our meals will most likely serve as models for our children when they grow up and when they have to lead their families in prayer. So, if our prayers focus mainly on what we want in our lives, and if our prayers do not express our love for God, our respect for God, our joy over his greatness and over his work of salvation, if our prayers focus on us and our needs of today, then we can also teach our children to pray selfishly. If we gloss over sin as if it is not important, if all we can say is, "Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake," then our children may well do the same. Because how do they learn what to pray for? How do they learn what's important? They learn from your example of your prayer. So what about if we don't pray? What about if we find it difficult to pray? What about if we are not in the habit of praying? Many young people have told me that after they graduate from high school and from catechism classes, their prayer life grinds to a halt. They don't pray. And then, if they don't pray for a while, they find it difficult to start again. So, brothers and sisters, if you find it difficult to pray, I urge you to start this evening. And I urge you to do it simply. Simply pray the prayer which Jesus taught us. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Or otherwise, read some of the Psalms. When you read a psalm, you are praying. And when you sing a psalm, you are praying as well. Praying in a special way. Praying the way that the Bible teaches us to pray. And if even that is too difficult for you, then ask for help. Because everybody needs help to pray at some time. Everybody needs help at some time or other to maintain a proper prayer life, because we are sinful people, broken people with many needs. Everybody needs to learn to pray. For everybody, there are times when praying is easy, and other times when praying is difficult. Other times when praying is a meaningless routine. So it is good for us to re-examine how we pray. It's good for us so that we can live closer and closer to our Heavenly Father who loved us so much, and also so that more and more we may glorify Him by our prayers. Amen.